A.K.A. Maniac Mansion. Wasn't that a show?
I don't know what you're talking
that
about.
That was a show or something, I think.
Maniac Mansion?
Yeah.
Was a show on TV?
Yeah.
When?
Like in the 90s or something. It was sort of a latter-day giggle snort hotel.
Are you... Is there a...
I'm trying to lighten the mood here.
Wait a second. Maniac Mansion...
Because someone...
It's a 1987 graphic adventure game.
It's a game. It's a game, okay. I knew the name from somewhere.
No, there's also a TV show.
Uh-huh.
Created by Eugene Levy.
Oh.
Canadian sitcom.
Hmm.
It was on the Family Channel.
Uh-huh.
In the United States in the early 90s. I had no awareness of this.
I knew the name, that was it. I would have remembered Eugene Levy if I'd known that much about it ever.
And now I understand why you said it. Aren't you awesome? Very clever of you, isn't it? Well, so clever.
Welcome to our podcast of the cinema.
This is a podcast of the cinema. I am Dave White, the film critic of Movies.com.
And I'm Alonzo Duraldi, film critic for The Wrap and What the Flick.
I have 48 new Twitter followers.
Yay.
Because of one retweet.
Yes. No, one follow Friday.
Thanks to our friend Matt Seitz. This is how you know how much influence you have in the world. What are you doing?
I'm hot. I'm trying to turn myself down here.
What about me?
You're fine.
All right. You sure?
Yeah.
Because now everything just went down.
Well, yeah. I'm just adjusting it a little. We're fine. We're good.
You sure about that?
I'm positive about that.
All right.
Can you turn my headphones up a little bit?
Like this?
That's good. Thank you.
More?
Maybe a little more.
Like this?
Okay. Right there. Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
So, yeah. This is how you know how much influence you have. When one tossed off retweet about something gets the person you're talking about like 4 dozen new followers, which is great. I'm very grateful, very thankful that Matt Seitz,
Matt Zoller Seitz, who's been on the show, author of the Wes Anderson collection. I can't remember the name
it's
of that
sitting
book.
Right over there. On
I
the
know,
floor.
I know. It's embarrassing. Anyway. That gorgeous Wes Anderson coffee table book, which if you've not bought already, you totally should.
Yeah, he's the author of that. Anyway, he liked my Equalizer review, and blammo.
Yeah.
I have now more people reading my Equalizer review.
Sing it.
And you, we'll get to that. And you, frequently referring to me with a Spanish word. It is pronounced maniático. It means logical, thorough, organized, and conscientious.
It does not.
That's what it means. It especially means that in regard to when you are about to, say, get on an airplane and fly halfway across the world to Spain for a family wedding. And you have a lot of things that you have to accomplish and a lot of plans and a lot of questions that you need to ask your current spouse about what's going to happen before, during, and after that trip. You're thorough, organized, meticulous.
You're also freaking out because it's what it's what you do.
No.
Okay, fine. You're organized and meticulous, and you're making me crazy. However you want to spin that one.
So I get where you're going there with the, oh, it's Maniac Mansion. I'm obliquely referring to my spouse.
It was pretty oblique. It took you a second to even figure out what I was doing.
Yes. I know things.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah. Mm. We're talking about movies.
We are.
This is a podcast about films.
Yes.
And you and I have seen them this week.
Yes.
There is The Equalizer.
Right.
Sing it.
You do it. It's your joke.
No, you do it.
Equalizer, equalizer, equalizer.
We were singing the song Equalizer to the tune, such as it is, of Britney Spears' Womanizer.
Get it?
A song that I knew existed and had heard.
I knew the hook.
Like twice, maybe, I guess, before this week. Which I know sounds weird.
I would be hard pressed to give you a chorus on that one.
That is the chorus.
Or verse, rather.
Oh, it all just sounds like the bum 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 bum, like the whole song sounds like that. It doesn't have a tune. There's not a, it's not a song, really.
I'm hooked up a 2-E-K-G, and my heartbeat is the thing in the song.
Yeah, so we saw this movie. Why don't you tell people what this movie's about?
I watched The Equalizer through one eye because we went to see it the night that I scratched my cornea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is a testament to this movie that as much as a great deal of pain that I was in, I wanted to see how it all came out.
Yes. you knew how it was all
going to happen. Well, I knew it was going to come out, but I wanted to see how exactly it was going to, how they were going to do it. Then, of course, I had to wait so that Dave could see the credits to find out who did one of the songs, even though we're going, ow, I want to go home now. Ow, ow, your husband is in pain. Oh, he's wanted to do the credits.
You know what?
Yeah. Defend yourself.
I sent through the credits.
Like, I couldn't have found that information for you online.
You didn't say, can we leave? Because my eye really hurts. Mm-hmm. You just got up and started walking.
No.
Yeah.
I said, I'd like to go now, and you said, I want to sit through the credits.
Right. You didn't say why you'd like to go.
I pointed to my eye and said, ow, and you ignored me.
I don't think that's true.
No, that's what happened.
I think you're remembering events incorrectly. I don't think that you think about this.
Yes, you discovered radium while I sat on my couch eating. Anyway... The Equalizer. It's a big screen adaptation of a 1980s action show that I never watched that had Edward Woodward in it, and now it's Denzel Washington.
I never watched it either.
It's directed by Antoine Fuqua,
yeah.
Who directed Washington to his second Oscar in Trading Day.
What was his first?
Glory.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He's a double.
One supporting, one lead.
I'd completely forgotten about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever remember who wins Academy Awards. Like, the minute they're over, I forget who won.
I do in the abstract. Or, let me put it this way. I'm more likely to remember that, like, if you name a person, then I can tell you whether or not they did. But if you ask me, like, who won Best Supporting Actress last year, I'd be,
I have to go look it up.
Oh, well, actually, no, I do remember. It's Lupita Nyong'o. But for the most part, I don't remember that.
Do you think she walks around calling herself that, saying that?
That's how they say it on TV now. So
she says it like that?
I've never heard it come out of her mouth. That's how I've heard her introduced at stuff.
All heavy on the accents.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff, really?
Yeah. Well, you know, who knows? It could be that whole Nicaragua thing, you know, where white people are overcompensating. So anyway, The Equalizer. So Denzel Washington, you know, quiet, meticulous, to the point of OCD. Thorough and
thorough and meticulous. Organized.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lives alone. Works at a Home Depot. Is like,
that sounds like a really nice life.
Have at it. No one's stopping you. You know, it keeps to himself, but seems to be friendly with people. He's helping this like Could we turn our phones off, please, during the presentation?
This is very important text that I'm getting.
He's like, you know, he's helping the doughy Mexican guy at work lose weight so he can become a security guard. And he's, you know, plays on the softball team and da-da-da. But, you know, then in the middle of the night, he can't sleep. So he grabs one of the great works of literature off his shelf and goes to the Edward Hopper House of Waffles down the street and sits up all night reading, strikes up a friendship with Chloe Grace Moretz as a 15-year-old a prostitute who's being, you know, run by the Russian mob. She gets roughed up, and Denzel, it turns out, used to be a guy who did things. They're a little vague about that.
They don't tell you anything.
CIA or Black Ops or something. They don't really tell you.
Not until, like, 30 minutes before it's over. Maybe even, you know...
Yeah, they keep it sketchy on the details, but basically...
All the way to the almost to the end.
He's a
gentleman. You find out what his story is.
He is a gentleman of a certain age with a particular set of skills.
Yes.
And starts using those skills on the Russian mob and working his way up the ladder from street-level pimps and drug dealers to, like, the guy who gets sent in from Moscow to clean things up.
Martin Sokas.
Yeah, who's... creepy.
Having a great time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's eating it up, but he's creepy. So, yeah, I mean...
He equalizes everybody.
So much equalizing.
He equalizes all the pimps, and he equalizes some corrupt cops.
Apparently, equalizing is like Cheetos, where once you have one, you just can't stop.
You gotta keep on going.
Yeah. So, like, not because then he's not only just going after the Russian mobsters, he's going after the crooked cops who are running a protection racket on the doughy Mexican guy's mother's restaurant. Or the creep who steals money from the store and takes the cashier's heirloom ring.
Yeah, just to add insult to injury, the robber who robs them in broad daylight.
Yeah.
He steals the cashier's family heirloom ring off her finger.
Right.
And Denzel's like, just let it go. Just let it go. Don't worry about it.
I got this.
Yeah. And so... my favorite part, this is one of those movies where I want to talk about everything, and I don't think it counts as a spoiler. Yeah. I think it counts as a selling point.
Sure.
One of my favorite parts is after the robbery. You don't even see him go equalize the robber. All you see is him returning the sledgehammer he used.
The rubber mallet.
To the rack.
Yeah, like, and the cashier opens the register drawer, and there's the ring back.
Like, he equalizes so dang much.
They can't fit it all in.
They don't even have time to show you all.
There have to be equalizing deleted scenes on the DVD.
So, obviously the bad guys will not be tamed.
Yeah.
They will not be equalized by him. So they think.
Yeah.
So they keep on gunning for him.
And he keeps on equalizing
them. Until they chase him down in the end to the Home Depot. Home Mart is what they call it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it becomes Home Alone Mart.
And then it becomes Home Alone. Yeah. In my review for Movies.com, I said, what if they made Home Alone into an opera? Because he Home Depots the living F out of these dudes. With all the Home Depot materials at his disposal.
Yeah.
And it's delightful.
That's the thing. I mean, this movie is, on a certain level, kind of indefensible dramatically, just because you never...
It ain't about a thing.
Well, exactly. And you never really feel that Denzel Washington is ever in danger, so...
No, because he's going to equalize you.
Exactly. So it's kind of like... Like, the Avengers felt like they were in more danger in the Avengers than Denzel Washington feels like he is in here. Like, it's just, you know that he's going to come out of this alive, and he's going to equalize every last, you know, scumbag. But boy, they make watching him equalize really fun.
It moves, actually, very deliberately for, I'd say, the first half of the film.
Yeah, the setup is, like, it's funny because I was just talking to my class about this. When I went to see Ghostbusters.
What? Your what?
By the class I'm teaching now. I went to see Ghostbusters with our friend Garicotti a couple weeks ago in the 30th anniversary reissue, and I was amazed at how they really make you wait for it in that movie. Like, you don't see a ghost for a good 5-10 minutes, and there are a lot of scenes that are just character establishment and for the sake of a joke. And but they, you know, compared to today's editing and wall-to-wall soundtrack and whatnot, it just, there were, it almost felt spare at times.
But
this movie very much sort of takes its time to get rolling, really lets us, gives us an idea of who this guy is and how he lives so that we understand the difference once things start going to equalizing town.
Right. And unlike Training Day, where there was that sort of loud, you know, hammy kind of behavior through the entire film, Academy Award level.
Exactly.
Acting.
Quantifiable acting.
He's not much of a talker.
No.
In this movie. And the camera, without him doing a whole lot of talking, has to focus on other things. So I really like, honestly, I really like the look of this movie. I like how there's a lot of shadow, a lot of darkness, a lot of focusing on, like, parts of the world that he's in.
The movie kind of does.
His hands, his book being placed at exactly the right spot on the table.
His stopwatch.
Him tying his shoes, his watch, his eyes as they land on the most vulnerable body parts of the people he's fixing to equalize.
Well, yeah, the movie kind of does. The thing that they do in the Sherlock Holmes movies where he plans out in his mind what he's going to do and then he does it. This one, they don't do it quite so on the nose, but they do sort of, you see his mental process of like, okay, that guy, his neck, his sternum, you know, 18 seconds. You know, he'll hit the stopwatch and then go. It is admittedly really fun to watch, that sort of thing.
It is a film that is about nothing other than what Hollywood is about right now.
Sure.
For older men.
Right.
And what Hollywood right now is about for older men is, how many of you can we turn into action stars, even though you are 66 years old?
I just had a thought. The Taken is the new...
Say it right. Pronounce it properly.
Taken.
Thank you.
Is the new Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Yes. Yeah.
Because Whatever Happened to Baby Jane made them realize, oh, wow, we have all these aging starlets who we have nothing else to do with unless they want to go be on television or something.
Play the grandpa somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's make them look worse.
And put them in crazy horror movies.
And put them in crazy horror movies and play on the fact that they are these women that we remember as being beautiful who have now committed the cardinal sin of passing 50.
Yeah.
But, of course, men get a better treatment out of it. Men get to be, you know.
Action heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so instead of, you know, now you're Jack Reacher's boss, or you are a much too old leading man with a 24-year-old female co-star.
Right. Or you're an expendable.
Yeah.
Although I guess the Expendables really ties into this.
It absolutely does. Instead of allowing any sort of, you know, emasculating effects come into play, they have figured out a way to save the precious careers of older male actors.
Cinematic Viagra, if you will.
And so Denzel Washington did not need this, though, because he gets to do kind of whatever he wants.
But he's been making this kind of... I mean, he in his own way, has been being this kind of action hero
the whole time.
Yeah. Like, he never really stopped.
Yeah. Neeson had not yet exactly been this kind of person.
No.
Until Taken.
And Neeson even really wasn't, like, an A-list movie star before Taken.
He was a prestige character actor kind of guy.
Yeah. He was starring in, you know, Kinsey.
Yeah. And so... So for Denzel Washington to do this, it isn't some sort of, you know...
Retread or reimagination.
It isn't him reinventing himself. It's just him taking his rightful place. You know, as boss of pretty much everyone. I mean, who else...
Oh, really? This is what we're doing now? Step aside, please.
Who else besides him right now, what male actor of his age can be counted on to open a movie?
Well, you can't even really say Tom Cruise anymore because, you know...
Denzel Washington opens more movies than Tom Cruise does.
I think so. People, I mean, in the U.S. anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
he's the dude.
Like, you're right. It's a diminishing pool of people who have that kind of clout anymore.
I mean, I could be wrong. There could be someone I'm just blanking on right now. But Liam Neeson, yes and no sometimes.
Yeah. But yeah, Tombstones didn't
consistently. Consistently, Denzel Washington just opens movies.
Yeah.
People will go, oh, it's a new Denzel Washington movie.
Yeah.
Off I go to see
that. That's a brand that people know.
Yeah.
That lady who asked you in the lobby what all the movies were, if you had said Denzel Washington, oh, great, I'll see that one.
Right. No. Or maybe not. She was kind of goofy.
Yeah, well, the one she picked, though, was something that had a star attached.
I forget what it was that she picked. So, again, this is not a film that's about much of anything except, you know, murder, vengeance, vigilante-style murder.
Yeah. Omerta.
And I really, really like that.
I had a good time. I definitely had a good time.
What kind of time did you have at the Box Trolls? Alonzo Durrell Day.
Not so good.
I will tell everyone what this movie's about.
Do that.
So there are these box trolls. You all know what a box troll is.
Come on, it's box trolls.
They're these little, you know, fugly cute little creatures that live in
gremlin-y
underground cave. They're monsters, sort of, but not bad. Their clothes are discarded, shipping boxes. They live on a... they live in a cave in a very tall mountainous town called Cheese Bridge. The entire town is obsessed and concerned with the making of cheese.
Why? And consumption.
And consumption of cheese. And why? Why not? The most snooty high society man of Cheese Bridge is Lord Portly Rind.
Yes.
Voiced by Jared Harris. The evil villain of Cheese Bridge is Archibald Snatcher or something like that.
Yeah, the exterminator.
He is the box troll exterminator. And he has...
He is voiced by Ben Kingsley, channeling Michael Gambon.
And he has concocted a scheme that will build his status in Cheese Bridge, because that's all he cares about, is his status among the high society people.
He wants to be a white hat.
All the high society people get to wear white hats. He has a red hat. Also, he is super gross.
Yes.
He's so repulsive. It's, but I'll talk about that in a second. So meanwhile, among the box trolls, there is a little boy. And he is
a human boy.
A little human boy who has been raised among the box trolls. He believes himself to be a box troll because they have raised him from a baby. And he wears a little box, too, just like they do.
He goes by the name Eggs because all the box trolls are named for whatever label is on their box.
Yes.
Which it seems to me like you'd have a lot of people named, you know...
Milk.
Milk, exactly. Yeah.
So Eggs goes above ground and meets a little girl. She convinces him that he is, in fact, not a box troll. That he's a little boy. She is the daughter of Lord Portly Rind. And she is voiced by Elle Fanning. They discover what the exterminator, Ben Kingsley, is going to do. He wants to get rid of all the box trolls so that he can become a white hat. And he can go to the fancy cheese-eating parties that the society people go to. One problem. The minute he puts a piece of cheese into his mouth, he's allergic to it, and he blows up like the most disgusting, pus-filled Macy's Day Parade balloon.
Like a river of boils.
You want to look away. Like, and so then, blah, 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 a fight. That is my problem with this movie. That is the problem that I have with this movie. The plot is simplistic and has been done before. It's too many times.
Well, and also the...
In kids animated
The
features.
Exterminator's scheme makes no sense.
Whatever. the fighting of the evil villain, so that the hero can understand his identity and his power and his function in society.
Blah, blah, Joseph Campbell.
Yeah. I'm against this now as a plot. It's happened too many times. And I want different stories created for children to watch. Because these are the kind of movies that kids go to see.
Mm-hmm.
And kids keep getting the same story. Now, this is from Laika, the company that put out Coraline and Paranorman.
Right.
The Pacific Northwest stop-motion animation studio.
Run by the son of the guy who owns Nike.
This one...
He's like the Megan Ellison of animation.
Yeah. This one is stop-motion and hand-painted stuff and CGI.
Hmm.
It's all a combination of all three techniques. But mostly stop-motion. And so, I forgive it, this retreaded plot line, because it's so great to look at.
Ah, okay. That's where I'm going to begin with my many disagreements with you on this.
Begin.
I found this movie so ugly. I mean,
no.
Yes, the animation itself is meticulous.
You know what's ugly? Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return.
Okay.
That's ugly.
I didn't see it. I found the character design in this movie hideous.
Yes.
The box trolls are...
Thanks, helicopter.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, those are those military helicopters.
Yeah, this is... Martin Sheen is hanging out the side.
Yeah. We've got Marine bases in Southern California, and they run their helicopters
right.
on the weekends. It's always on a Saturday morning.
Hmm.
They do these training things.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, because they're giant. Have you ever looked out the window and seen them?
But you know they're training things?
Huge military. Well, what else? What are they going to go? What, are they going to bomb Santa Barbara?
They're invading Bel Air. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so the. I thought the box trolls are indistinguishable, except for you get to know two of them who are sort of the most involved with raising eggs. Was it Fish and Shoe or something?
Yeah.
But the rest of them are just this blur, and I thought, okay, you know, we could handle seven dwarves. We could handle, you know, a lot of the minions all have sort of at least some way of being distinguishable. This was just this massive... weird-looking characters that weren't... Even the ones you did know who they weren't very interesting. I found the human characters mostly irritating, except for the villains. I liked the Exterminator, and I liked his philosophical henchmen.
Yeah, yeah.
But generally speaking, yeah, I just found this movie tedious and not pleasant to look at and uninspired. And yeah, the plot is super familiar. I really, really did not like this movie, which disappointed me greatly because I love the first two Laika films. I think Coraline and Paranorman are some of the best contemporary animation out there. But this one, I just, didn't work for me at all.
I thought this movie was really beautiful because of the things that you say were so ugly.
The character design, really.
The character design is weird and... hard, if you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has very sharp angles on their faces, except for, you know, Mr. Boils and Puss. And the settings are gorgeous, all the sets and everything. But I will admit to you, yes, everything is mud and gutters and wood, old wood and rusted scraps of metal and
which I don't necessarily have a problem.
Brown and gray and dusty and black and sooty and grimy.
I'm not thinking
everything looks like that.
I don't think all animated films have to be Toy Story, you know, and gleaming and shiny.
It's the opposite of the clean, bright primary colors aesthetic of Pixar, Disney, DreamWorks, you know, everybody
else. But so is Coraline.
Yes, but this goes off in an even... sort of grosser direction.
Dingier.
Yeah. This is a dingy looking, you know, thing.
Mm-hmm.
And It's kind of like an anti-beauty here for me. I found it all just sort of enveloping and beautiful in its grossness. And the Ben Kingsley character is genuinely so repulsive. There are moments where you want to look away because he's just getting boil upon boil on his face.
Right.
And you're like,
gnarly. That's kind of a fun kid gross out. But yeah. Just generally speaking, I just thought this movie was so dull and uninvolving and just not anything I enjoyed. And again, when I say that it's unpleasant to look at, I don't mean because it's not, you know, primary colored. I just meant in general, I just felt like I didn't like the character designs. I didn't like the settings. It didn't pop for me.
I loved the character design.
And I think
the production design.
You can certainly make an animated film that is darker and dirtier and smudgier or whatever, but I don't think this one did it very well.
That everything was perfectly detailed, really strange in a very bold way. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of a daring looking movie.
Well, you're right.
And I think that people who are open to awesome stuff that doesn't, you know, people who aren't fuddy duddies like you.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, enjoy your barf.
This is actually a sort of a barf looking movie.
And you mean that as a compliment.
I mean that as a compliment. It looks like barf.
Put that on the poster. You're gonna raves Dave White of Linoleum Knife.
And then you saw some stuff I didn't
wait,
see.
But not barfy is our sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you...
This is our last episode to send people over to Kickstarter. And several of you have, and our sponsor is very grateful to have gotten your support, and would like to hear from more of you. He's written us a nice letter to share with you.
Dear Linoleum Knife, it's not letters time.
No.
But this is sponsorship time.
Right.
But it is a letter.
If we were in print, there would be a tiny word at the top of the page that said, advertisements.
And now, words from our sponsor.
Here we go.
Dear Linoleum Knife, hi. Teenage wear skunk guy here. This is my last paid spot on this marvelous podcast.
Aww.
I assume most of you are loyal listeners and thus already familiar with my project. So let's skip all that and just get right down to it. Think about the thing that you want most in the world. A house on the beach? Sure. I want that.
Depends on the beach.
The guy or gal of your dreams? Sure, I want both.
Shut up.
The CEO position? Yes. I already got that.
So you're CEO of...
I'm CEO of our incorporated small business.
I thought you were CFO.
No, you're CFO.
No wonder we're in trouble.
I'm CEO.
Okay.
And yet I still handle all the F, too.
Yes.
Performing a shredding guitar solo at Madison Square Garden. You know, I've never thought about myself as a shredding guitar soloist.
No.
I would be more likely to want to be the drummer in a band, because I had a little drum set when I was a kid. I would play along to my Partridge Family records.
I would want to perform at Madison Square Garden with a silver stripe of glitter going down my arm.
Now imagine that all it would take for you to achieve that dream is for a few kind strangers to each kick in a few dollars.
Mm.
To kickstart you, perhaps. He didn't. Huh. That's all part of his letter.
That's
me. Yeah, that's the position I find myself in. I'm the 9 year. He's 9 years old. He wrote, "I'm the 9 year old kid."
It's a inside.
Are we supporting a 9 year old filmmaker?
No.
if we are, that's great. I'm the 9 year old kid who would sneak downstairs to watch Friday the 13th movies on HBO after his parents fell asleep. I'm the teenager at the multiplex who bought one ticket and snuck into three or four different screenings over the course of a Saturday. I'm the 20-something with a video camera glued to his shoulder. And now I'm the 30-something with a more than halfway funded Kickstarter campaign. I'm so close to making an actual feature, I can almost touch it. Almost. By the time you listen to this, I'll be less than a week away from my campaign's deadline. If I don't reach my $20,000 goal by October 6th, I get nothing, and the movie, my lifelong dream, doesn't happen.
There's still time.
I don't know you people, but we all listen to David Alonso every week. We do!
I know I do.
And I feel like that's a pretty specific bond. I'm starting to get moved
I
here.
I know, I'm getting a little misty.
I'm calling in the Linoleum Knife Army. You're all fans of the cinema, right? Will you... They are.
Oh, devotedly.
They'd better be. If they aren't, stop listening to this podcast. If you aren't. Will you help me? 20, 10, even a single dollar. It all helps. This is the greatest country in the world.
Dang Skippy.
Formed and founded by the little man fighting for what he feels should be his. From the rocky coasts of Maine to the... Dash. Crap, I just realized this would have been far more effective if I had suggested to D&A that they play the national anthem in the background as they read this.
Oh, there you go.
Now I'm just depressed. Opportunity squandered. I hope I still get to make my movie. TeenageWearSkunk.com.
We hope you get to make your movie, too. And if anybody listening can help make that happen, that would be great. Because, you know...
Look, if this letter is any indication...
He has a sense of humor.
This movie's going to be great.
Yes. And really, you know, if we could stop...
Admittedly, first time I read the first week's copy, I was skeptical. I was like, what is this?
If we can stop one
now
dream...
Now I'm on board.
One dream from dying in its tracks, you know, maybe that's not such a bad thing.
I'm ready to see I was a teenage wearskunk.
Heck yeah. T-E-E-N-A-G-E.
I'm ready to talk about it on this podcast and tell everyone that it stinks.
Get it? T-E-E-N-A-G-E-W-E-R-E-S-K-U-N-K. TeenageWearSkunk.com.
Help Neil, that's his name,
mm-hmm.
Help Neil make this movie.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
What are you doing that's so special that you can't...
Yeah, what makes you so great?
Take 5 minutes to go give him a couple of bucks.
You know what would make you so great?
Giving him a couple of bucks.
Giving him some money.
Yeah.
Also, are you rich? Give him a F-ton of money.
Yeah.
A shload of money.
Hey, Megan Ellison. I know you listen.
Yeah, Megan Ellison. Sitting on your pile of cash. Give Teenage Wear Skunk some money.
I'm sure it'll be a
fraction. Or else I'm not going to go see the new Paul Thomas Anderson film.
I'm
is
sure,
she producing it?
Is yeah,
it?
Okay, probably.
Of course
yeah.
she is.
Yeah. I'm sure Teenage Wear Skunk will cost you a fraction of what Inherent Vice ran you.
That's right.
Give a guy a break.
All right, that's it.
Thank you, Neil, for your support of Linoleum Knife. We hope that it paid off for you.
Seriously, y'all, give him some money.
Yeah. This week I saw Pride, which you did not.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't blame you because the trailer...
because holy crap.
The trailer really turned
that trailer, me off. That trailer was out of control.
Yeah, the trailer makes it look like 80s gay activists equals... unemployed men stripping equals British ladies doing a naked calendar equals Brenda Blethyn-Gross pot, whatever, like all the sort of cutesy movies of the past couple of decades where, you know, uptight British people get wacky, you know. I was shocked at how good this was. It's not perfect, but it's really entertaining and really... for a movie that is so nakedly pushing your buttons, it's pushing your buttons really well. It begins in 1984 at the Gay Pride Parade in London. And, you know, there's the usual sort of like skinheads and whatnot. And over the course of the parade, this guy, Mark, who's played by Ben Schnechter, I believe is his name, who was in The Book Thief.
Synecdoche.
Yes. decides, hey, let's raise money for the striking miners, because we have the same enemies in common. Margaret Thatcher, the police, and the tabloid press.
And solar power.
Yeah. And so they wind up forming a group called Lesbians and Gays Support the Miners. And this is all a true story, by the way. They wind up randomly picking this one little mining village in Wales that they support, and they send them money and clothes and whatnot, and wind up traveling there to meet the people who live there, and some people are welcoming them with open arms, other people are horrified that the gays are coming, and other people are not real crazy about it, but they get won over, you know, eventually by, you know, how awesome they are. It's really sweet and really funny, and I honestly think that you would kind of enjoy it. The problem is...
I'll wait till it comes, you know, streaming somewhere.
Oh, fine. There are way too many characters and way too many subplots, and I guess because it's a true story and quite a few of them are still living, they really wanted to do justice to everybody's moment. So there's there's like subplots about gay bashing and AIDS and lesbian separatism and...
That's the story I care about.
Assimilationism.
I'm fascinated with lesbian separatists. No. Well, I think they're terrific, first of all.
A couple of lesbians in the group split off and start another group called Lesbians Oppose Pit Closures or something, which is a real thing. Like, I was watching this, there's a documentary online, I'll see if I can post it on our page, that I saw on the Guardian page, and somebody put it on my Facebook, that somebody shot about Lesbians and Gays Support the Miners, and it makes you appreciate how much this movie got the detail right. I felt super old at one point because there's a scene where they put on a huge benefit concert.
You're
called
like 100.
I am. At one point, the tabloid press finds out about this and writes this really snarky, you know, condescending article about it. And there's some headline about like perverts support the miners or something. And so they decide to capitalize on that, and they put on.
And if you happen to be young, just a little interruption here. Uh-huh. If you happen to be young, and you don't think that's, and you think that's kind of weird, and that might be a heavy-handed thing for a movie to do, go to a library and look up old newspapers and how newspapers used to write
about
gays. All the time.
Well, how they used to write about homosexuals. Yeah. Getting them to say gay was like a long-fought battle.
Yeah. Back in the day, even when you and I were kids,
mm-hmm.
if a gay person did something in the media, if the media wrote about gays, it was crazy.
Yeah, the clucking and the condescension.
Yeah, it was nuts.
I mean, yeah, just going back and reading like reviews of old movies and doing research, like people talking about, like, it would say perverts, and they would say something like that. Just, it's insane. Yeah. Anyway, nuts. So basically the group decides to capitalize on that, and they threw a big benefit concert called Pits and Perverts. And it was headlined by Bronski Beat. And so they reenact that in the movie. And so I'm now old enough to see a period piece in which someone is shot from behind pretending to be Jimmy Somerville. It's like watching when the Beatles finally perform and I Want to Hold Your Hand, and it's all like back shots and like
guys just wearing these bowl cut wigs.
Yeah, like cut, you know, like the camera's on the side of the room, or they're being obscured by the TV monitor. Like, that's how they show Bronski Beat in this movie. And I'm like, wow, I'm old. I really had a good time. And I wish they had tightened up the second hour. This is a full 2-hour movie. And maybe trimmed some of the subplots and stuff. But overall, especially based on that awful trailer,
seriously, that trailer.
Yeah.
Like, don't watch the trailer.
The trailer.
If it's as good as you're saying it is, then you owe it to yourself not to watch the trailer.
Yeah.
Because it'll make you want to run screaming.
I definitely recommend this. It opened this weekend in LA, New York, San Francisco, and I think it'll be expanding in the next couple of weeks. Some terrific performances. Imelda Staunton is in it.
Here's a question I have.
Yes.
How much gay crying is in this movie? Because that's where I draw the line.
Not much.
You know how I feel about gay crying.
No, there's not a lot of gay crying. There's not a lot of, like, gay...
That Prop A documentary?
there's not a lot of
wading through the gay crying in that one.
There's not a lot
some
of
tall boots.
Yeah, there's not a lot of gay smooching in this movie either, but that's fine. No, it's interesting, and actually, this is one of the, you know, our friend Adam Berry did a nice BuzzFeed piece about the sort of how this isn't one of those movies where there's a gay character. There's something like 38 gay speaking roles in this film.
Yeah,
And it runs a real gamut, you know. You have your sort of, like, fiery-eyed socialist, you know, political types. You have your, like, just-coming-out-of-the-closet guy. You have this guy who's been around since the 70s, who you find out later was the second person in the UK to be diagnosed HIV positive.
Yeah.
You know, who's, like, kind of camp. And then these other guys... there's a great bit where they get off the bus at the mining town for the first time, and they say something like, if we could all be a little less flamboyant, I think it would help. And the actor goes, just to be clear on this, when you say flamboyant, you mean gay, and when you say all of us, you mean me, right? So, like, even the gays don't always agree with each other about how to behave or the methods for the, you know, helping the miners, or even that they should be helping the miners at all. A lot of, like, you have a lot of characters who... grew up in those communities and were bullied and they're like, well, screw them. Yeah, like, screw those guys.
Yeah.
But then you find another character who is Welsh and hasn't and is like long estranged from his mother and being in touch with the miners sort of takes him home for the first time in a long time. It's I really wish
there any gay miners?
I'm not telling.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, I wish you would I do want you to see this at some point. Like if they send me a screener at the end of the year or whatever.
They'll send us a screener.
But yeah, I wish I could unreservedly recommend this movie because there are flaws to it. But I cried a little and I laughed a lot and I even though I knew I was being manipulated,
so the gay crying all came from you.
Exactly.
Great.
I was being manipulated very skillfully.
Yes. Here's the thing I don't understand. This is not related to the film at all. The whole if you could be a little less flamboyant argument.
Uh huh.
Who thinks that's effective?
Self-loathing people.
Who thinks that if the Queenie dudes if you Queenie dudes would just get more mask.
Yeah. Then the people who hate you would stop thinking about, like, you know, what's going into where.
Who thinks that's effective?
Idiots.
Just curious.
Yeah. We won't talk about Jimmy All Is By My Side because I didn't watch the whole thing. But Christy Lemire and I discussed it this week on What the Flick.
Did you talk about how you...
And we talked about how... Yeah, I didn't give it a score because I didn't watch the whole thing.
Okay.
Well, it's funny because she actually didn't... A couple of weeks ago, she had to walk out of Dolphin Tale 2 because I guess Nick was traumatized.
Imagine.
Yeah, so she and Matt discussed it. But
dead dolphins at the bottom of the pool.
She didn't give it a score.
Hey, kids,
because she didn't see the whole thing. So
things die.
Yeah, I talked about... What the I saw again another 2-hour movie. I saw the first hour and I talked about why I turned it off, and she was more of a fan of it than I. So anyway, you can check that out on What the Flick. Is that it this week?
Yeah, some letters.
Oh, okay. Oh wait, first DVDs.
I got one.
Oh fine.
Been real busy getting ready for this trip to Spain. We're going to Spain for 10 days, by the way, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be, well...
There might be.
There ain't going to be
maybe.
No podcast.
No there podcast might be a podcast.
No.
And you may or may not be participating in it, but...
Our nephew is getting married.
Yes.
In...
Tenerife.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
On the Canary Islands.
And, which is part of Spain, but it's actually next to Africa. I'm going to Africa, pretty much. On Tuesday.
It's Spain's Hawaii.
Yeah. And so so I'm mortified by this entire process, but...
Once we get there, you'll have a great time.
The last thing I want to do is record a podcast while we're there.
I'm not making you do it, but I said I want to do one with my brothers.
You want to sit around with your family and just jaw on and on about movies.
Yeah.
Okay. If you could get them all to sit down one room...
Okay, let's be clear here. There's no way that's happening. That's like trying to get the the King family Christmas special. That would require months of planning.
If you could get them all,
I just want my brother Fernando mainly because he, like I said, he was my movie.
No, you need more than Fernando. You need
I'll see who else is game.
Javier.
If you know,
you need Maria. You need Jolie.
I would enjoy that. We'll see what happens. But anyway, I would like to do some kind of podcast.
Susan will want to be in
with
on
my
it too.
Siblings.
She'll feel left out. If you don't let her be in
she
it.
She could care less, I'm sure.
Oh, no. She'll want to do it.
We'll see how it goes. Anyway, I'm going to try and whip up a podcast.
I'm going to try and make it not happen.
Be that
I'm going to try and thwart this plan with my own evil, bigger, worse plan.
Mm-hmm.
and everyone will be eating something instead.
We'll have to take the occasional break from eating something.
I don't see why.
Anyway, I did...
I'm going to eat my weight.
I did come...
Churros y chocolate.
I did come up with a DVD pick this week.
Roast suckling baby pig with the face still on it.
Little teeth.
I'm going to put that face in my mouth. I'm going to eat that cheek.
There's a visual. Okay. My DVD pick this week is actually, there is a Leica put out a two-disc Blu-ray / 3D Blu-ray, for those of you who have that capacity at home, of Paranorman and Coraline. And they are reminders of the good stuff that this studio can make, which is way, way better than Box Trolls, which is not good.
That's not true.
Yeah, I'm right. Go on. Letters?
Oh, now you want to do letters.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because I say.
Here is a letter. Hey, Dave and Alonzo.
Hey.
I have realized that not only do we share a passion for movies, but also a love for the strange Burbank Media Center Mall. It's now called, they changed the name of it.
Oh, really?
It's now called the Burbank Town Center.
Huh.
I wish they hadn't changed the name of it, because the old name is weird. And
yeah, it makes it sound like it's a studio.
Yeah. I'm not sure how or when, but the Burbank Media Center somehow became a central part of my L.A. life, and I spend an inordinate amount of time there. When I have lived out of town, it often is the first stop after I fly in, and I have no idea why. Perhaps it's the nearly claustrophobic Movie World bookstore.
Oh, that's not in the mall proper. That's,
where is that?
You know there's that street where there's all those little storefronts?
No.
It's one of the storefronts. I've bought posters
there
before.
Oh, so it's not in the mall.
It's not in the mall. It's right. Adjacent.
Perhaps it's a nearly claustrophobic Movie World bookstore. Is it still open?
Maybe. I haven't been in a while.
With the greatest selection of movie novelizations to beef up my collection. Or the attractive iPhone case kiosk vendor near the main entrance. She smiled at me once, a year ago. I swear she did. But if I clocked my time in that mall, it would possibly rival most employees there. I go to the main AMC theater a lot and tend to park in the mall just because I somehow find it more comforting than the structure next to the theater. I think I agree with you on that one. The parking structure next to the big giant 16 Burbank AMC feels doomed somehow.
The one where
it
I like to park?
Like, it feels like the parking garage where murder happens.
It's a little skeevy. Yeah, I grant you.
I have also been to that small theater you discussed last week beneath the Barnes & Noble. And I just hit the wrong key on my keyboard and pulled the thing out of my view. Okay. And I do enjoy the bizarre ambience of the place. I was also one of the final customers in both the Suncoast and Johnny Rockets on the third floor. They were next to each other, which both closed years ago. That must be where the mom-and-pop tamale restaurant is now.
Oh, is there
one? I bet that's where the Johnny Rockets used to be.
Oh, maybe. I remember where the Johnny Rockets was.
Yeah, there is a tamale place on that third floor right across the movie theater, and that food is delicious.
Again, I don't know the name of it. Why am I only now hearing about this?
Because you always, I don't know, you want to go to Panda Express or whatever.
No, I don't. It was right by the theater.
Now that you've made your needs known, we'll go to the tamale place.
Fine, yes.
And then we'll go to DQ.
Yes, speaking of which.
With our gift card.
I was going to say, we need to give a thank you.
Thank you to our kick-ass listener, BJ.
I'm sure he's never gotten that response before. Keep it classy, day boy.
Dude, your name is BJ. BJ Kellogg, thank you. He heard us talking about Dairy Queen.
Yes.
And
I never knew there was one ensconced next to the
combination
Orange Julius.
Dairy Queen. Orange Julius, right next to the...
To the inside, the AMC 8.
The 8.
Yeah.
Theater.
In Burbank.
He sent us a gift card to Dairy Queen.
Yes.
$20. Do you know how much ice cream $20
so many
cost?
Dilly bars.
I'm going to eat $20 worth of ice cream in one sit.
Peanut Buster parfaits and a Mr. Misty.
He is the brother of Patrick.
Yes, whose wedding we officiated.
Yes. So, this was a lovely gift.
It was. Thank you, BJ.
So take that as a cue, listeners. When you hear us talking about something that we like, send it to us. Your reward is in heaven. Presents, presents, presents.
You behave.
All I want is what I have coming to me. All I want is my fair share.
All I want is for people to buy the things that we sell. So they don't have to give us everything.
Also, some presents.
Yeah, fine. Is there more letter?
Yeah, of course there's more letter.
Okay.
The Johnny Rockets was so sad.
How sad was it?
They had pulled down all the signage as they had already begun tearing it apart, yet for some reason stayed open until the bitter end. I also find it odd that the cosmetics staff in Macy's outnumbers the customers in the entire store 5-1. And I fear that one day they will mobilize and take over the mall in a hostile action
with their Frozen's campaign.
Here is hoping, though, that they don't do what happened to Santa Monica Place and turn it into a swanky open-air Westfield property. Hmm. I agree with you on that. Here's why. It's in Burbank.
Yeah, malls without roofs, no thank you.
Malls without a roof in the valley? That ain't what you want. Mm-mm. You need a cover in the valley. You need air conditioning in the valley. It's 1,000 degrees in the valley almost all the time. You need air conditioning in the valley. And the Burbank's the valley. It's on the other side of that hill.
Unquestionably.
And so it gets hot over there. You do not want a Westfield
open
air.
Isn't that mall sort of nestled at the foot of whatever those mountains are?
I don't know.
Right behind it.
I mean, yeah, but it's not like it helps.
Yeah.
This is a thing that's taking over the country, by the way.
Open air malls?
Open air malls. They have them in Dallas.
What?
Yes.
That's crazy talk.
The movie theater in Rowlett, where I used to take my mom all the time.
Firewheel
18. It's in an open-air shopping mall.
Ugh.
Yeah. So imagine that. Dallas, Texas.
In July.
August.
Ugh.
When it's 111 degrees.
For like 20 days in a row.
That's not an exaggeration. It's like 112 degrees
and
for a month straight.
Yeah, they will have weeks and weeks of three-digit heat.
And you're supposed to just go walk around in there.
Do they have those little, like, mist things?
Yeah, but those are jokes.
Yeah.
Those don't help you.
That water barely makes it to the ground.
Yeah. So, y'all don't want that in the valley.
Ugh.
You don't want that at all.
No.
I mean, something will happen to that mall because it's
the dirt mall.
It's so janky and sad, yeah. But it's extremely lovable. Oh, and Alonzo, how could you possibly have missed that Dairy Queen? I mean, it's right there in the open near the escalators.
I just managed somehow.
And then he continues. I can't remember if I've sent in a top 10 list before, so here it goes. Number 1, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Okay.
Number 2, Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Number 3, Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, JFK.
Okay.
Number 5, The Deer Hunter.
Okay.
Number 6, F4 Fake.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And number 7, Anatomy of a Murder.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, Mary Poppins.
All right.
Number 9, Where Eagles Dare.
Okay.
Number 10, Ikiru.
Yeah. You are 100% knife.
You are. That's from Sean.
Thank you, Sean. Sean is also one of very great about talking about us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Which we very much appreciate.
Totally. Last summer, just before I started writing a new novel, I binge-listened to 20 episodes of Linoleum Knife.
Whoa.
Why'd you do that?
He can do what he wants.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think we're a small dose sort of situation.
Phenomenon.
I don't think, you know, 20 hours or 37 hours that 20 episodes would take.
Maybe we're like popcorn. Maybe you have one and you just gotta get, maybe we're like people that get equalized where it's hard to stop after the first one.
It was no shock to me, weak-minded person that I am, that I made my fictional heroes a married gay couple who opened the novel bickering over food.
See? We're inspirational.
Alas, they don't have cool jobs like you two do, and they're stuck in southern Missouri when a massive earthquake strikes.
Mm.
Thereafter, the bickering ends. and the novel becomes, no doubt, the sort of thing you'd not much like if it were turned into a movie. Despite having relatively good taste otherwise, I love natural disaster stories and can't get enough of them, preferably in Sensaround. Oh, we're with you. We're with you on both of those.
Our next special episode is the Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah, we will record that when we come home from Spain.
Yes.
Anyhow, because you two inspired me, I'd be happy to forward you a copy of Quake.
Ta-ta-ta!
That's his novel. Published today in Mobi PDF or EPUB. I don't know what any of that means.
It's an ebook thing.
Whichever you prefer. Yes, it's self-published. But no, I'm not a horrible writer. You don't have to say that you're not a horrible writer, because everybody self-publishes now.
Yes.
And the stigma to that is over.
Yes. And you clearly have exquisite taste because you're listening to this program.
Yeah. As recently as 5 or 6 years ago, if you had said, I'm self-publishing, I would have said, oh, I'm sorry. But that's different now.
We have seized the means of production.
Now, not only has the publishing industry changed so much so that almost nobody gets a book deal unless you're Lena Dunham, you know.
Yeah.
Unless
you're Snooki.
Yeah. The gatekeepers don't get to tell you no anymore. You just do what you want.
Yeah.
And as long as your book doesn't look cheap and shoddy, and as long as it's been edited properly, and as long as you're a halfway decent writer, you're, like, way ahead of the pack.
Yeah.
So,
Quake.
He says, and not even my relatives are getting a free copy. Well, yeah, but did your relatives inspire you, your characters?
I think not.
No. That was us. Irrespective, thanks for all the laughs you've provided me. I'm a big fan of What the Flick as well.
Oh, thanks.
Your fan, Lou Cadle. Author.
Spell that last name for people who want to find his book.
C-A-D-L-E.
All right.
He didn't call himself Lou Cadle, author. That was
no,
me.
I know. So, yes, Lou Cadle's new book, Quake. Look for people who kind of resemble Dave and me, I guess.
Are these characters fat? Because that would be...
Can't have everything.
Hey, David Alonso, I don't know if anyone has gotten to you first. If no one else has, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but the word chimping has already been taken. It's true. When I was working at my friend's photography studio, she told me that chimping is when a photographer takes a number of pictures using a digital SLR camera and then quickly scans the photos using the view screen. The position taken by the photographer during all of this, holding the camera with both hands and pulling it close to the face, but too far to be looking through the viewfinder, is supposed to look like a chimp.
Ah.
I don't know, eating a piece of fruit or something. I remember us having an entire conversation about that one word.
I want to give a quick shout out to Caroline, who left us a message on the Linoleum Knife group page on Facebook, making the same observation.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He says, and Dave, you are completely right about constant sun bumming you out. Cold and gloomy makes me feel safe. Exactly.
Well, there you go.
That's my point, exactly. Clear and sunny makes me feel as if nothing will ever happen again. Ever. Thanks, guys. Eric. I'm with you on that.
I like to mix it up. It doesn't bother me that it's always... The sunny doesn't bother me. It's that it's always sunny here. I miss rainy days, you know.
Too much sunny blue sky weather depresses me.
I like variety, you know, and I tell you, one of the very few things that I miss about Texas are the vivid thunderstorms.
Oh, yeah.
Getting to see, like, horizontal lightning going from cloud to cloud. That's something I really always enjoyed.
That's right. All right, now we're done.
We are.
Talk
okay.
about our YouTube channel.
Yes, we have started a YouTube channel. I am going through the process of turning our old episodes into movie files that I can then upload onto YouTube.
The old, barely audible episodes.
Yeah, we're in like the first few. I'm going to try and get one or two more up before we leave for Europe, but it's going to be an ongoing process because, hey, we've been doing this for 4 years now almost.
Yep.
But if nothing else, it'll be a way for me to finally count our episodes, which I don't really ever do that much. We're like gearing up toward 200, believe it or not. And they're coming to get us for it.
The police are super into that idea.
Uh-huh.
Thanks.
Wow.
Or the fire department.
I think it's the fire department.
Thanks, fire department.
We appreciate your support. first responders love linoleum knife. Anyway, so yeah, so linoleum knife, subscribe to our YouTube channel and find out about when we've got new stuff going up. And beyond that, hey, thank you to Blue, as always, for our wonderful theme.
What was that? Hey.
Hey, I don't know. I'm just transitioning from thing to thing. And trying to get over this stupid siren. Check out our friends on the internet. Go to ChristyLemire.com.
The local dogs are super into that siren now,
too. Yeah, uh-huh. And RogerEbert.com. If you are a SiriusXM listener, check out the Frank DeCaro Show and listen for us the second Friday of every month on Derek and Romaine. Listen to the B-Movies podcast with Bibbs and Whitney, Dennis Anyone with Dennis Hensley, the Brett Easton Ellis podcast, Fat Guys at the Movies, the Criterion cast, the Schmoes Know, Film Spotting SVU, Podcrash, the Game Night Guys, and Secretly Timid. What?
Just keep talking.
Oh, when I said the Schmoes, you kind of perked like you were going to say something.
No.
Okay.
I am going to say something.
You can subscribe to the show for free on iTunes, and if you would leave us a review there, that would be great, because apparently that's how their metrics work as far as featuring your show on like the main podcast page, is how many good reviews you're getting. And we thank everybody who's left us one, and if you haven't yet, please go do it. You can also stream the show at Stitcher Radio or thelounge.com or on our Facebook page, which if you haven't liked that, please do. You can follow us on Twitter at linoleumcast. You can check into the show at tvtag.com and drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com with questions, comments, top 10 lists, bottom 10 lists, amusing theater anecdotes, whatever else. We are indeed leaving the country, and I hope to have a show for you next week, but I don't know. We'll see how that plays out.
I hope you don't.
When we get back, we will be recording our Poseidon Adventure commentary, and we will start the holiday hard sell of things and stuff, and including first, our t-shirts and my Christmas movie book, because it's that time of year again. And what else?
The first podcast that we record.
Oh, right.
After we come home. I'm not going to say the name of this person. We have a very special guest.
We do.
She has agreed to join us.
Yes.
She is someone that a lot of you know.
Mm-hmm.
And dig.
An iconic presence.
And I can tell you this. She's been in some movies that I know a lot of y'all super are into.
Mm-hmm.
She is an actress lady.
Yes.
She agreed.
She's way too classy for this show, but she's going to come in anyway.
I don't know that she is. she's real chill, and there's not. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying fancy in a bad way.
A DVD has recently been released of a movie that she was in just recently.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say recently? I think I did.
Maybe.
It doesn't matter.
A film that got a great deal of media attention.
Yes. And so I...
The aforementioned Brett Easton Ellis was a big fan.
I'm leaving you in suspense with who this is. Because if she cancels, then it's not going to happen.
Exactly. We'll pretend we never said any of this. we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
That's
it. We're done.
As always, we thank you for listening and wish us safe travels, and we will catch you next time.
Goodbye.